the AAC July meeting today on Monday, July 6th, 2020. Please note that the meeting is being recorded and we do place the audio of this meeting as well as the bus rail and subcommittee and the Metro Access subcommittee meetings on our website. We will begin the meeting with a roll call of the committee members. Elver Ariza Silva. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia. I thought I saw Tino.
No, he's not on my list yet.
Okay. Rico Dancy.
Rico is here.
Present.
Thank you. Melanie Jackson.
Here.
Steve Caffin.
Steve is here, he's just muted.
Mary Kay McMahon.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes, now we do.
Hello, it's Steve. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, because I don't hear you, so let me do some looking around.
You might have to exit and then come back again, Steve.
This is Mary Kay, I'm here.
Thank you, Mary Kay. Philippa Mazzell. Anthony Oberg. Phil Posner.
Present.
Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Here.
Thank you. Paul Semelford. I thought I saw Paul joining. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Semina. Okay, Kelly's just joined. That concludes the roll call of the members. People.
I didn't hear you call me. Hello. Did you call Vanessa?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
No problem. I marked you, but because I knew you.
Thank you.
Did you hear me, Darnese, when you
called? No, not. Okay.
Because I couldn't unmute.
Okay.
Yeah, and did you get Kelly in? I don't remember you calling that.
Yes, I did.
So we need an approval of the agenda. And if Paul is here, he had asked before to add an item to the agenda. Paul, he's connecting.
He's connected.
So I'll let him add it to the agenda or suggest it.
You may be connected now.
Paul? Yeah. Unmute.
It took him a while to get connected today.
He may still be in Brooklyn.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we're approving the agenda, and I believe you wanted to add something to the agenda.
Yes, discussion about having us Metro Access fares to be free during COVID period.
Okay, what I'm going to suggest is our original agenda, which had our Chief of Safety, Ms. Impostato, who once again is not able to make it. So we will have some time. So what I'd suggest is we put your item talking about Metro Access fares following the Fairgate presentation.
Sure, not a problem.
Our normal startup, then we'll go to Fairgate's, then we'll go to yours, then we'll go to Metro Service reopening process, and then Carol on the ADA comments. So if that's okay with everybody, can I have a motion? Don't all jump in at once.
Aye.
All in favor? Opposed? Hearing nothing opposed, we'll accept that as the agenda. So, next item on the agenda is the prior meeting minutes. Has everyone had an opportunity to read the minutes? And if so, if there are any additions, deletions, or a motion to accept them as they are submitted, please make a comment or make a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes as read.
We have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? We've got an accepted set of minutes. What I think I'm going to do when I take the votes, which is easier since everybody is muted most of the time, is ask for opposed first. And if I hear nothing opposed, I will say it's accepted. That way we can move ahead and not everybody have to click on and click off. So the last one is the board report. And has everybody had an opportunity to read that? If you haven't, raise your hand or let me know. Rico has not read the board report yet.
This is the interpreter. That was me requesting Rico to raise his hand, not Rico not raising his hand.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'll take a motion to accept the board report as written.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Anybody opposed? Hearing no opposition, it's accepted unanimously. So let's move on to the first item, which is presentation on new fare gates and alert sounds.
Okay. Terry, are you on the call with us?
Yes, I'm on the call.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to know if you could hear me.
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Hear you. Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me try to share my screen. See if it takes me a minute. I can get the right file.
Hello, I don't know if you've done roll call already. This is Philippa Mazzell.
Okay, thank you, Philippa.
We did take it, and we are now adding you to it.
Okay.
This is Tino by phone.
Had trouble getting in. Okay.
Me too. This is Tino. Okay.
I'm sorry, did I hear Tino say that he's joining from phone call?
Yes, I couldn't use the password, so I'm on a phone.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Terry, you need to start your video, the camera.
Oh, yes. I'm just trying to share my screen and I'm...
Okay, now we can see it. So now I believe you should be able to share your screen.
Okay.
Your camera is off again.
Oh. Whoa. All right, now
I can see you. We see you. And share screen might be at the bottom of the screen. Green.
Yep.
Okay.
Anu, I have PowerPoint on my screen. If you want to let me share my, I can show it and move the slides along if you like.
Okay. That'd be easier.
Is the Zoom password correct? Because my phone won't accept it. I mean, I'm trying to sign in through Zoom and it won't accept the password.
That happened to me too, Tino.
I had to enter the password twice, but it did go through the second time.
I've done it three times. And not before.
Same with me,
it should, Tino. If you were able to join through phone, it's the same password. I mean, but generally speaking, when you go to the link, it just connects you. You don't have to enter the password.
Well, I came in through the link, but it's not working. But okay, I'm on the phone anyway.
Okay.
I entered the password. No, I used
okay.
It. Okay, you've got my screen up. Can everybody?
We can see you.
Can everybody see the slides?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good.
Okay. All right. Okay, so thank you for inviting me back. I appreciate the opportunity to share with this group and hear back from you. You know, it's certainly our intention to get the best solution we can from WMATA. And certainly hearing from our customers is a great opportunity for us to try to get this right. The last time I was here, you know, the initial tones and audio tones that were put into the design was universally disliked by this group. And there were a lot of different reasons for that. You know, some people didn't like the tones, the pitch was too high, it wasn't as recognizable for other things. I think I heard comments like it was just really annoying. So what I wanna do today, so I've asked my team to kind of put together some other samples, samples from what other agencies use, samples from tones that we use in other, for other systems within WMATA, fare systems, or for the doors on the trains, et cetera. And so what I'm hoping to do is to just kind of run through this range of sounds and hear back. And it doesn't have to be specific, but if we like one group or certain samples that we find acceptable, get a little bit more detail about what needs to change, even with the samples that we present today. And then I can take that feedback back to the design team, and then we can narrow it down and hopefully get some things that serve us well. So that's my hope for this meeting, is just to get some new feedback. These are not final, but it certainly can allow us to direct our contractor better. So, any general comments about what we want to accomplish today before I jump in? Okay.
Hi, I'm sorry. I do have a general statement and I'm sorry. My name is Bong Del Rosario. I was trying to find a really good time when I could chime in. I was on mobility. I'm in Baltimore, but I wanted to introduce myself. I don't know if the person before me was actually on this board, but my name is Bong Del Rosario, and I am the new director of policy for MDOD. So I just wanted to introduce myself, and I will let you guys be at it.
Thank you.
Call?
It's Bong, B as in boy, O-N-G.
Okay. Well, like I say, welcome to the call. I'm sure the entire committee is happy to have you being part of this discussion. Right now, I'm focused on one very specific thing for the WMATA community that we're looking for input from this group, just to kind of, again, we want to get the best solution that we can. And so we welcome all input and things that can help us to give good direction to our contractors.
Thank you, and I look forward to working with you guys too. I'm excited.
Okay. So the first, if we recall from last time, we had three different types of audio tones that the Fairgate is going to make, that will have the capability of making. One of them is just kind of an alarm, and the alarm for the Fairgate is really more related to instances where someone is trying to force the barrier or jump over the gate, or they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And so the Fairgate, if someone tries to force the barriers or jump over the barriers, it's going to give an alarm. And this is a couple of other examples, and these are kind of close, but I want to play this to see if we like this alarm better. So are there any kind of comments about this? The last alarm was just more of a bat, and no one liked that one. So I'd like to get some general feedback. Is this a better approach? And how does this fit in with the message that we want to send?
Terry, I didn't hear anything.
Could you turn up your volume and repeat that? Because I could only hear a little tinkle. I couldn't hear anything at all that time.
Well, oh, no, this is not good. Because I can hear it perfectly fine, and I don't know how to make it louder for everybody. Anu, can you hear it?
It's very faint. I can hear it's quite faint. Let me see if I can share my screen. Okay.
Okay, so I should start sharing?
Well, just in case if that's the issue.
Okay.
Sorry, it'll take me a quick moment. In the meantime, okay, Terry, you're stopping. I was going to ask Terry if you just want to perhaps try one more, just to test if it's that specific sound or if it's just sound that's louder.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was mine. I put the PowerPoint up on my screen and just ran it.
Okay.
So you can hear the sounds through my computer, but you can show this. I've got the same set of slides, so that's fine.
Okay.
So, will I play that again for everybody?
Sure. Go ahead.
Sounds like a European police car.
So I can hear it, but I can't see it. Do I need to put it back on the screen?
Oh yeah, go ahead and put your slide back up, and I'm just playing it on my computer.
Okay.
Or Anu, if you let me share screen, I can run the slides and the sound at the same time off my computer.
Go ahead, Dr. Posner.
Okay.
Yes, since yours is up, go ahead.
Okay, so this is mine back up. Should I stop sharing again?
Yeah.
All right, so I've stopped sharing again.
Okay, and you should be seeing my screen now. Can you all see the picture?
Yeah, we see your screen now.
And you all heard the sound?
Yes.
And Terry, could you clarify when you will hear that sound?
So this is an alarm. This would happen if somebody were jumping over the gate or trying to force the barriers open.
Okay.
It's an alarm. It's an alarm for situations where someone's doing something that they should not be doing at the Fairgate.
Well, or putting a good light on it, it could be somebody having their wheelchair stuck in the gate.
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's an alarm that something is happening that shouldn't be happening. And so
yes.
It's a bad thing like jumping the gate, but it could be something to alert the station manager that someone's stuck, because that does happen.
Well, this is an alarm. It will be the same alarm for both situations. If somebody is stuck and the barrier is coming down on them because they haven't cleared, well, the sensors, this shouldn't happen. The barrier should not come down on somebody in the gate because the sensors should not allow that to happen. So it's really much more designed for a situation, but it could be somebody who's stuck and the barriers can't close because they stayed there too long in the safety zone. So it could be that somebody is stuck in the safety zone, they can't clear. It could be that somebody jumped over the gate, and it could be that somebody's trying to force the barriers to open when they shouldn't. So it's just an idea that the last alarm was just much more menacing, and it was suggested that we try to do something that wasn't so annoying. And so we were hoping that this might be the sweet spot. But, you know, if it's not, I just want to hear general comments about what do you think for this alarm, for this purpose. And I think we had two samples of alarms, so we can go to alarm two, which is similar, but it's just not quite as long.
Okay, here's alarm two. Sounded the same to me.
Well, one is longer and a little bit more high pitched. This is a little bit less of a pitch, but it's similarly done to kind of tone down a bit.
Yeah, again, it sounds very much like the European police cars going, and it gets my attention.
So do you think it serves the purpose? And is it less annoying than the, do you think it has a reasonable annoyance factor?
This is Philippa. I find it much less annoying than the other one that had my ears bleeding.
Okay, well, that's helpful.
Yeah, this is the building where you have to leave or your eardrums are damaged. This is something that will get their attention.
Okay. Does anyone else have comments? Do we want to play it again?
Let me play one again and then two. This is one. And then this is two. Two had a little more of a bass to it, but rock and rollers.
Yeah, they're about the same. One seems to have a break in the middle, the number one.
Does anyone else have general feedback?
You run this by the station managers to see which one they would pay closer attention to, because you're the ones that are really going to be important.
Yeah, so we do have to, you know, once we kind of make some changes, we still do need to hear back from the station managers as well.
May I ask how loud this is going to sound? Can a station manager hear this from his or her booth?
Yeah, so the ability to adjust the sounds is supposed to be by contract. It's supposed to be hearable within 60 feet. But of course, with all the ambient noise inside the station, that'll be a little bit difficult to measure. But it should be reasonably loud, and the volume is adjustable so that it can be pretty high.
I'm going to ask something a little bit crazy. It'll probably be expensive. But if they could hook up a wireless speaker that would go inside the booth with the station manager, that would be great. I know all of the radios that I own, I can hook a wireless speaker up to those. We can put our cell phones into a wireless speaker. So I wonder if there's a way that they can rig that so that the station manager can actually have something inside.
Hey, Phil, that's a great idea. Also, the station manager sometimes walks over to the fare area or is handling customer issues perhaps on the other side. And if there's something that's portable, it's even better.
Mrs. Sola?
Yeah. So I will ask if these, and it's not so much the wireless speaker as much as particularly to have it sound from the station inside the mm-hmm. computer that's connected to all the gates that sits inside the kiosk. And there's also a web browser so that when the station manager is going around with a portable device. So I will ask that question to see if the alarms can be also heard from the station terminal. I don't know the answer to that question though.
Oh, great, thank you.
Okay.
Would you like the next slide?
Yeah, let's go to the next one. So one of the comments that we got back is someone asked, could we use sounds that we're already familiar with? So we've, you know, just downloaded some for consideration of sounds that we're already familiar with, like the door closing. I'm not sure if it's applicable to the fare gate. It might be more confusing than helpful, but I just wanted to, just because it was suggested last time, I just thought I would bring it and just kind of hear back and what would be the concerns for a failure that was similar to that of the door closing.
That was loud. I've heard that sound before.
Yeah, that's a WMATA fare door closing.
Okay, the next one is door two. And those two were definitely got my attention.
Okay.
This is Darnese. I like this, the door sounds better. The second one especially.
Okay. So this was meant to be used, or potentially it could be made an alarm, but it's also, there are a number of circumstances where the customer comes to the gate and they can't enter. And so we need an audio tone, and there are a number of circumstances. It could be low balance. It could be that the card didn't quite read properly. It could be that the card is hot listed or and doesn't work. So if it reads the card, at least recognizes that card, we need a tone to tell the customer that something went wrong and they cannot go through the gate. And so all of these kind of failure tones, one would be we can put use some of the metro sounds, or like I said, if we move on, I think we've got five or six different ones that could denote failure. So one option would be the WMATA door sounds, one of the other. But we can walk through a few more and then come back around after we've heard them to kind of think about them.
Failure sound.
Yeah.
This is what they use in SEPTA.
Oh. Sounds like I'm being run over by heavy equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't sound very loud to me. It's differently on my computer. This is
sounded frightening.
Fare bus. Yeah. On the fare box on the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that one's high pitched and really painful.
Yeah, that's painful. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh,
That's Staten Island Ferry coming into port. For those of you who've ever ridden the Staten Island Ferry. Yeah, the last two really are high pitched.
Okay, was that the last failure sound that we had?
No, this one's Philadelphia. This is SEPTA.
Yeah, but this is for success. I want to kind of go back to the failure. So what we said with, so the failure tones we absolutely have to have. Because it conveys multiple messages to the customer. The most important thing is that you cannot go through the fare gate. And there are many things that could be the reason that you can't go to the fare gate. Like I said, it could be because you have a low balance. It could be because you have it could be that the card didn't get read properly. It could be that the card is hot listed. You know, so there are multiple reasons why you might come to the gate and you can't go through the gate. And so we need a sound to alert the customers that you cannot go through, you need some additional acceptance or assistance. There will be a message, some of the message are here, but if we go back, now that we've kind of run through some different options, if we can just kind of narrow down of the options, which ones we think might be suitable. And we can start again with the WMATA door sound if we want to kind of adopt the door sound for the fare gate.
I have a quick question. Is it possible to have a recording that actually says, see the station manager? Because an out-of-towner or somebody that doesn't know what's going on may hear this sound and just, what do I do? And they probably say, it's a bad gate, I'll go to the gate next to me and try it again. Whereas if there's actually a message that says, see the station manager, they'll get that point. They'll know what to do because to get the card fixed.
So there are text messages that say, what your problem is, right? So we put some of them in some of the presentations. It'll say low balance, add value, or it'll say see station manager. So we do have written messages on the display that will correspond to these sounds, but the sounds are also there, you know, in case you're not paying attention to the display or if you're visually impaired. It's just supposed to send you an indication that you can't go through the gate.
Okay, so they would get the sound plus the message.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Let me. Okay. So, like I said, one sound was if we can just kind of run through the sounds.
That's the first WMATA door sound.
Yeah.
This is the second WMATA door sound.
You know, my suggestion is that just to keep things very separate, that WMATA door sound is so identified at this point with, you know, the WMATA door. Even if it's a different pitch, shouldn't we make that sound different at the fare gate?
And that's an idea, and I've heard that. I just wanted to, because it was suggested, I just wanted to make sure we were considering it with the other options. But that is a consideration with the door, right? We associate it with something else, and it might be more confusing than helpful. But the other thing we can take from the door sounds is, we don't want exactly, but if everybody kind of likes something similar to the doors, then maybe we can steer our contractor in the direction of something similar to that.
Yeah, this was a very rapid repetition. It didn't really sound like the door. The door is ding, 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 ding. Whereas this one goes, come on, I guess it. I apologize for my tremor. See, that's different than the door. Door yeah. sort of goes ding, 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 ding.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's much nicer than the bus sounds and the other ones that were very high pitched.
Okay, so we don't want anything exactly like the doors, but the sounds for the doors are much more pleasing than, at the very least, what was on the bus. So why don't we show the bus? Maybe we can just rule out the bus one altogether.
It actually sounds like the Gong Show.
Okay, so I know I heard one comment that the bus is high pitched and we don't, someone said they didn't like it. But is that a consensus that we should not consider any trying to match this to the bus? It was just in response to a comment that, hey, it might be good to have sounds that we're already familiar with. But should we say that the bus is annoying, just like the old ones, and we should definitely not consider it any further?
Philippa has a question. Philippa, you have your hand raised, go ahead.
Actually, no, I just had a comment and I hit the wrong number, but that last sound I did not like at all.
Okay.
No, we haven't heard the SEPTA gate reject card. Hold on.
Yeah, this the sound quality is not very good here.
The last one we haven't heard. Yeah, and again, I still think it sounds like heavy equipment backing up on it. There's a beep beep and then.
Yeah, I think that is kind of background noise because I didn't have a pure wave file for that one. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of generally a buh kind of noise. It's kind of low. Without consideration to the background noise, are there any kind of general comments about this SEPTA sound?
Could you play it again? I'm still not sure that I heard it.
So the sound is sort of the rumbling sound, not the horn honking twice in the background.
Okay, so we can't really assess the SEPTA sound. I'm not sure, because I'm not hearing it. I hear it when I run the presentation on my own, but I'm not hearing it very well through this presentation.
Let me turn the volume up a little bit.
Okay.
That's as loud as it gets.
Well, any general thoughts about SEPTA?
Just sounds like static.
Yeah. All right, well, let's look at some of the other ones then that we have a little bit better sound quality on.
Okay, we have slide number 9, which is the failure beep number 1. Is that which one you want?
Okay.
That's high pitched. That hurt.
Okay. So at least we have one comment that this is not a good sound, it's too high. Anybody else about this sound?
Sound like it made someone's dog start barking in the background.
Yeah, so this would be the sound, like I said, you come up, right now we're saying, you know, that the fare gate's out of service, you know, but it could be other things.
Okay, Ray, we can hear the sounds and you assign them a number and we can select.
Okay, so that was your beep number one. This is Phil, beep number two.
Okay.
That's a tuning fork.
Now this is for, this sound is for what? I'm sorry.
So this is a failure. So you come up with your card, you tap your card, but you still can't go through. Right. So a number of reasons why this might happen. It could be because you have an invalid card. It could be because you have a low balance on your card. You don't have sufficient funds to go through the gate. Mm-hmm. You could have an expired pass.
Uh-huh. You know, I like the sound. It's just, it's almost the kind of sound that you would hear if your card was accepted and you were about to go through. Do you know it's a pleasant kind of sound?
A welcoming sound.
Oh, okay. Well.
And I assume the sign that is right behind it says invalid card, not enough balance, fare is $10, balance is $6. That's a message that would appear on the gate.
Mm. Is it verbal?
Okay, this is the third failure sound. Sound a lot like the last one.
That sounded like the second one, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's just a different pitch, but it's the same sound. But is it the same concern that it's too friendly?
This is Philippe. I agree. It sounds like an acceptance sound. It needs to be slightly annoying, but just not too annoying.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, well, that's the samples that I had for failures. I've got some acceptance. And we could potentially use some of these in a different way. But I think what I'm taking away from the sounds that we heard, we first heard sounds that were similar to the different messages that we get for the rail car doors. And the style of those sounds for this purpose were good. But we did not want to recreate something too similar to the fare gate, for the rail car doors.
Yes.
So in that category, generally positive, but these specific sounds would have to be adapted. We cannot use them directly. I think that's what I understood. Then we looked at what the receptor was doing. And
what the sound engineers will do is they'll look at wavelength. They'll look at amplitude and they'll look at frequency. And so the wavelength is a good wavelength because it was gentle on the ears. And the idea would be to increase the frequency and the amplitude. Mm-hmm. And that would differentiate it from what was happening at the door closing.
We have two hands up, Ms. Rush and Philippa. So Ms. Rush, go ahead, please.
She can raise her hands but can't unmute.
No, that was from the previous comment. My hand, it does, I don't know how to take it down. How do you get it down?
No problem. I can do that.
Thank you.
Sure. Philippa, did you have a comment?
No, I hit the wrong button somewhere along the line, and it apparently is keeping me as though I'm posing a question. So,
no problem. I'll take it down.
I need to erase something or do something. Let me know.
I have.
Anu, this is Tino.
Sure. Go ahead.
Can I ask? Do all the sounds come with some sort of visual display indicating what's wrong or?
Yes. Or what? So for the alarms, like if you're jumping over the fare gates, the gates will actually light up. And we'll have flashing lights that will indicate that there's a problem at that gate. For the times when you're coming in and there may be, like I say, multiple things, that the fare gate is out of order and you can't enter, you have a low balance, you don't have sufficient funds to enter the gate, or you have an inverted transaction where you're going into an entry gate, but your fare card is configured for exit. So there are messages associated with each one of those that will show up in the display, but you'll first get the alarm, the audible alarm to say, stop, you can't go through. And then there's a message on the display telling you why.
Yeah, Tino, if you look at the PowerPoint, and I have it up now, failure beep one has the out of service, please use other gates message. And then beep number two has invalid card, not enough balance. The fare is $10 and you only have six on your card. So they're very clear messages.
Well, unfortunately, Phil, I'm only on the phone. I couldn't get in by...
Yeah, what I'm suggesting is News sent you a copy of the PowerPoint earlier today. And so later today, if you want to look at it, if you look at it, you'll actually get to see the messages.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
This is Anu. Just want to make one quick comment. Anytime anyone is making a comment, please state your name because we have interpreters on the line. It helps them. And even after the presentation, if anyone has any feedback, please feel free to send it to me and I'll be more than happy to share it with Terry. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bong. I just have a quick question. And again, this is my first meeting with you guys, so I apologize if it, you know, sounds... you know, stupid. But these gates, are these the regular gates or are these the gates that people with disabilities or wheelchairs would be using? Or is that all around?
So for the failure messages, it applies to all gates. So a long okay. failure message applied to all gates. Okay. Whether we have the positive tone, we're going to review positive tones because we're going to program for it. But we're not going to put the positive tone on all the gates because it would just be too much noise. You know, it'll be constant beep, 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 beep. So, you know, if we use the positive tone, it will only be on the accessibility gate, just so that we're just not constantly bombarded with that sound.
Okay.
But for these gates, the failure, if there's a failure event where you can't go through, that's going to be consistent to all the gates. And if there's an alarm situation, that's going to be consistent for all of the gates.
Okay.
And Carol has her hand up. Go ahead, Carol.
I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about how WMATA goes above and beyond the ADA. Terry has been working on this project for quite a long time, and all of the fare gates are accessible. They have sounds, they have visual cues, etc. The wider gates are, of course, the wheelchair accessible gates. But I wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Terry's been working towards making everything accessible. So we have different types of disabilities, and not all of us need that wider gate. But WMATA has been working to go above and beyond.
Yeah. So it's certainly been a priority of ours. Carol has made sure of that. Not made sure of it, but I mean, we've worked closely with her to make sure we get it right. And so it's been important to the project. And Carol has been kind of, you know, our point of contact through this process. But you know, if we kind of go back to the failure, I just want to make sure I'm summarizing where we are with the failure sounds. The SEPTA sound, we can't really weigh in on. It's not very clear. But, you know, I think that if people tuned in with those with their own computer, because the audio sounds are attached to the PowerPoint presentation, if you have more feedback, if you send it to Anu, to say this is more in the ballpark. We can come back to that, because I think if everybody listened to it individually on their own computer, it does have some white noise associated with that particular WAV file, but I would appreciate, you know, further comment if members of the group would listen to it individually based on what was sent out to them and see if they had additional feedback. I welcome it. But that's where we are with SEPTA. We can't really decide if it's good or bad because the quality is not good enough for us to do that in this forum. So that's the notes I'm taking for that one.
Yeah, for the group, Anu sent out the presentation as both a Word document and as a PowerPoint. And I think you have to use the PowerPoint to get the sounds. I don't think the Word document has the sounds in them.
I see Barbara has her hand up. Barbara, go ahead. Do you have a comment or question?
Hi there. I have some comments, yes. First of all, if people in the audience are having a hard time hearing the SEPTA sound, I think it's pretty safe to say that this is more or less ideal conditions. The sound quality is going to degrade quite a lot further if you're actually in a station, because of course we have a lot more people, a lot of noise and things like that. So that might be an easy way just to kind of get rid of the SEPTA type of sound. Another thing, just to agree what I thought I was hearing earlier about the not using the door closing chime type of sound due to it sounding very similar. I think you're going to be getting some riders with cognitive disabilities, and unfortunately they have not been represented or consulted a whole lot on Metro related topics, but we need to think about them as well, and they may very well be pegging one sound and, you know, thinking, oh gosh, you know, I'm hearing the same sound somewhere else. Where is the door that I'm supposed to be looking out for? So I think for that reason, you should consider not having one sound doing double duty. And then Philippa also mentioned about the dog. And I was going to say that some of these tones, sounds are could be very sensitive to a guide dog's ears, and we need to be considerate of that. And finally, I would like to recommend that the group consider consulting with those who are hearing impaired, and I don't believe I heard Doris on the roll call, but she might be a good one, because certain sounds are more easily heard than others, and I think we want to maximize the hard of hearing person's ability to hear.
Yeah, Rico is
finally
here.
I guess I had another final, actually, sorry, two finals about the visually impaired. I would very much, as a person with low vision, I would very much like to have a visual display indicating what it is that's wrong with my car.
I would like to interrupt. This is Rico. I would like to explain something, please. Please use the verbiage deaf, please. Please use deaf. Please do not use hearing impaired.
Well, there is a difference. Functionally hearing, or if you're deaf, you are not hearing at all. There are people who can hear and want to hear. So that's why I'm having the definition. But I do
use that. That is an old, hearing impaired is an old verb, an old verbiage, an old use of the term. That is an old-fashioned use of the term, and there is a different use for that. And I want to explain that.
Okay, I'm not going to go any further on it. But my last point was that for those who have some vision and choose to use it, we would like the visual display to be larger and the text to be larger on it. And of course, as I always say, with good contrast. Maybe Philippa could chime in on that. But thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for your comments. And I'll just kind of repeat back that as we start making decisions, and I will repeat this, we're not finalizing anything today. I'm just trying to categorize things that are closer to what is more acceptable and rule out things that are just really not acceptable as we narrow down these choices. So nothing is final today, but I'm definitely hoping to narrow down my understanding of what's acceptable. And some of the comments about the doors, that is well taken, that if we've got messaging for two different things using the same tones, that is not acceptable. So my only takeaway with the doors is that something similar might be good, but as long as it's not too close to what we hear for the doors. So in terms of we definitely rule out using the same things that we use to distinguish the doors closing, but we may think about sounds in that range as we narrow down our list of warning signs or failure notifications. The other sounds, the last three, I think that what I heard was that they weren't quite annoying enough to be distinguishable as a failure event. And so one of the concerns that I heard was we need to kind of sharpen the sounds up a little bit to make them more consistent with something that we would interpret as negative, that you can't go through. So those would have to be updated. The other concern with those last three, the pitch was, there was a concern that it may be annoying to assistance animals, and we may want to take that into consideration and at least follow up on that before we make any final decisions about those tones. So that's what I'm taking away from those things.
Anu, this is Pat Sheehan.
Go ahead, Pat.
Thank you. Two things. One, can you mark me as present?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Thank you, Anu. And secondly, maybe this is to Carol, if she's here. The color contrast ratio for, I don't know if it's the same for kiosks or displays, but I know as far as the web and that sort of thing is usually 4.5 to 1. So Barbara, I'm wondering if we're looking at the displays, whether 4.5 to 1 as a good color contrast ratio is acceptable. Carol, do you know whether that's true on things like kiosks or displays?
Okay. We always look at color contrast. And in these PowerPoints, I don't know if that's the exact color we're using. We've gone from, we have been advocating dark to white.
What the heck are you doing?
Yeah. White to dark. And in some cases, the light becomes, when we have an arrow, for example, it's a very light green with a background.
Another one of those?
In general, Carol, the color 0.5 to 1 is what's used in Section 508 for websites and displays and that sort of thing. But I don't know, that's why I was asking you if displays, and maybe I should know this, but I don't. Displays also have that same color contrast, like your PIDs and all that kind of stuff.
We do. Our PIDs have very high color contrast.
Yeah, and I do believe that the texts are all going to be in white and the background is black. So
that should be good.
Yeah, that's okay. Some outdated messages. The images, like the arrow here, may be in green or red.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the text will be white text on a black background.
Is green or red, I'm sorry, this is Patrick still. Is green or red gonna be bad for colorblind individuals? Do we know? Are they good colors to use?
There is sufficient color contrast between the two, the dark black, jet black background and the color that we use.
Okay, beautiful.
The red is closer lightly, only because red always means stop and green because it means go. And those are the colors we use in our system.
Gotcha. Okay.
I might suggest instead of arrows, you do thumbs up, thumbs down, or an okay sign, having a visual image rather than an arrow. There are some universals that work all over the world. Because that particular arrow, I can't see which way it's pointing, where it says success, accept the gate, accept card. That's just a green arrow shot up in the universe.
Yeah, this is just what's in front of the fair gate. We just put in some pictures of different images on the fair gate. Some of them are the display. This is in front of the fair gate to say this is an entry fair gate. But this is, so it was just an image to kind of show that we're moving through the fair gate. And this is just the tone with this one is just a success tone. You tap your card and you can keep going.
The reason I brought that up is Barbara's comment that she liked larger font on the display, and the display on the fair gates is not going to be that large. And so it might be easier to put a large image of a thumbs up or a thumbs down than write out all of the verbiage that's there. I'm just thinking of her comment, because there isn't that much space on the fair gate to increase the font size.
Yeah. So for all of the displays, we have an icon that's going to be some kind of image to say either like the red circle with the line across to say no, mm-hmm. and kind of a circle with a green arrow to say yes, go. And then there's going to be text associated with it as well. So every screenshot will have both an image and it will have text.
Thank you, that sounds good.
Okay. So, sorry, this
is Bong. I just have one other quick question as far as the failure tone, as far as the, let's say wheelchair gates. As far as the failure tones with the wheelchair gates, if there's a failure tone that goes off, is the attendant that's inside the booth notified? That tone head went off?
Right. So that's the question that someone asked already for me to follow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because there is a station terminal, a computer inside the kiosk. And I wasn't clear. I'm not exactly 100% sure if those sounds will be coming through that computer inside the Fairgate when there's a failure event.
The only reason why I asked is because people who are taking the subway or what have you in wheelchairs, they should know how to drive their chair, whether it's a manual or electric. But, every once in a while, sometimes a person in a chair might get stuck in a gate. So it's not necessarily that they can't get through, but they may get stuck and they may need help. So I was just wondering if that tone actually gets to the station attendant that's on duty.
Yeah, so I have a takeaway to follow up on what are the parameters for that. Gate will sound, and I know that for a fact. And in general, the station manager should be able to hear tones. But again, there may be reasons for having it come through the station terminal. And I will have to follow up. I have to get back to you because I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Carol, I see your hand up.
I wanted to clarify that the reason that we have the accessible fare gates closest to the station manager's kiosk is for that reason, in case somebody who has a disability has difficulty going through the gate. So it's right next to the kiosk. I will let Terry follow up on the other questions, but I just wanted to alert
him. Yeah, if it's alarming, he'll see that because there'll be a picture on the screen, but I'm just not sure for every kind of failure transaction if that comes into the station terminal. I'm just not sure.
Great, thank you both.
Okay. All right, are we ready to kind of walk through some of the positive tones? And like I said, I think we can't have positive tone across the Fairgate array because that would just be constant noise and it would be more of a distraction. But we're still going to have that capability. And so we do still want to kind of hear back for what's reasonable for a positive tone.
Okay, this is the first success tone.
Yeah, this is a success tone.
They have a lot of background in Philadelphia. That sounds like my text message phone sound. Okay, the next one is the bus success beep. We've all heard that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're not going to like this.
Who?
The dogs aren't going to like this one either.
But again, there was a question for consistency, and this is what the bus does. If we wanted to match what they do, we could.
Oh, we're back to failures again. Did you want me to?
Oh, did I have another failure one? I got it out of sequence.
Yeah, this is a failure chime.
I'm sorry. Let's hear another failure tone.
And then, oh, I can't wait to hear this one. This is from the Seoul Metro. And it's crowded in Korea.
Yeah.
No, that's another high-pitched one. Ah, and a beautiful warbler sound. And that's it for the failure sounds, and there's one more success sound. Oh, I like that.
I like that one.
It's J. Arthur Rank.
Okay.
And then this is the second.
I like that too.
When the president talks about heritage in some ways, of course, it's a dog whistle. A lot of.
I kind of like that one sound because it's a clear go.
That one.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that one also. This is Philippa.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Mary Kay. I think the two sound one is reminds me of the Doors again.
Okay. But that single little quick chime and the pitch, that one seems to sound good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And this is the last one, which is a Seoul Metro success. Ooh.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Okay. Dogs aren't gonna like that one.
All right, we're gonna rule that one out.
Yeah.
So, but we like chime one. That one seems to have good appeal. Can we go back to some of the, let's play it one more time.
Yeah, we all like that one.
All right. And I'm sorry I got these out of sequence, but the failure ones, the new failure ones, because the failure ones are going to be on all the gates, and I think it's very important.
Okay, well, the failure ones are, this is the bird.
Yeah, do we like the wobble? The warble.
That sounds like a British telephone. This is the Seoul Metro failure.
I agree, no, Philippa.
No for the warble?
No for the warble, this is Mary Kay, too high.
Okay.
And the same thing for the Seoul Metro, that's pretty high.
Okay, no for that one.
And this is chime number one. That's benign. That's what you get in the elevator.
Yeah, is that too familiar, too close to the door?
Yes, too close to the door.
Okay, so not good.
And that's it.
That's it. We reviewed all the others.
Yeah, we've reviewed all the
others. Yeah, we know we don't like the bus.
No, we definitely do not like the bus.
Okay, so at least I have some good feedback. I think we can get much closer to things that are acceptable and likable. To the WMATA team. For general comments that you want me to take back, like I said, nothing is final. And even this feedback will not be the final feedback. So we will have, at least when we get close to our pilot demonstration, we'll have an opportunity to get some, you know, narrow it down to the last bit. So what I hope to do with this is kind of narrow down our choices and send our developers with more specific direction about what we liked and didn't like. And they're going to give us, for the pilot, they're going to put in things that we think are consistent with the comments that I've heard today. And then we'll have that one last chance to get it right before it goes live. So, but that's where we are. And I think the feedback has been good. I think I'm able to rule out certain things and give them some better direction than I had from the last time we did this when it was just, we hate it. So I got a lot more varied, and I think I'm much better able to communicate with the team to get something that I think can be acceptable to this group. Like I said, we'll also be coordinating with the station managers, and with the addition of your feedback and station manager feedback, we'll be able to get this final. So any other questions or comments?
Terry, can I make another comment?
Sure.
It's Barbara. Hi, from Barbara. The public. I am wondering where you guys stand on the design of the turnstiles themselves. I'm concerned about the amount of space that one has to walk through. I did look at the photos that Tino sent from BART, as well as the New York City subway. And I've been on the New York City subway. It is
Barbara, if I can interrupt, Barbara, if I can interrupt you.
Yes.
So we have, when we were designing these fare gates, we got feedback from the accessibility community and riders in general. And the feedback was, for the WMATA system, we did not want turnstiles. And we certainly don't want the double-decker barriers. So those things are not part of our design. We have selected our design, and we selected it with input from this advisory group. And I think that the gates that we selected, of the options that we had to choose from, this one aligns itself with the accessibility comments on design, including for the wheelchair gate, the wider width gate, to have targets on both the left and right side. So we will not be doing turnstiles at WMATA, and we will not be doing double-decker barriers at WMATA either.
Well, how much space between, how much space does one have to walk through versus the current setup?
It'll be very similar. The footprint is about the same. And so we had to keep to our existing footprint to meet the throughput and exit things that we needed to meet fire code. So we really did not even have an option to make the gates wider without losing capacity and not being able to meet other requirements. So the okay. gates would be about the same.
That was why I do have a concern. A lot of people, especially in D.C., you know, they carry the suitcases, rolling roller bags, and a lot of people, well, I guess when they were taking Metro to work, a lot of people tend to carry those roller briefcases. And, you know, the ones in New York were just very, very tight to get anything through there. So I'm sure you already know that. You guys do. Yeah. It sounds like you're doing a great job and done all your homework, you know, with all the sounds and stuff. But, you know, if there's a chance to make them a little wider, that would be really great. So thank you.
Wider is going to be hard from our existing gates. But some of the other things that we have for luggage and other things, these gates will have so many more sensors. And we have like a zone that will allow the gates to stay open if the bags are within that zone. So the risk of closing down on bags because of our design is much reduced. And
excellent.
So we do have those additional safety features that you don't have in our older style gates to help mitigate that problem.
Yeah, because in New York, you actually had to pick up the whole suitcase.
Over.
And yeah, it's, you know, you got to lift weights to be able to go through there. But thank you for addressing that concern.
Well, you're welcome. We really are trying to get the best solution we can for WMATA. And I think we have thought about that. But within our constraints, this is the best solution that we can implement.
Could I say something? I know that we're concerned about fare evasion, but the great, great, great majority of people that are going to go through the gates will not be, you know, dealing with that issue. And so as the gates are finally designed, let's be careful to not err on the side of one versus on the other side, if you will, in terms of making the gates easy to use for the great, great majority of people who go through them.
You know, yeah, one of the most important thing that we're going to have with these gates for fare evasion is just the ability to detect it, to create alarms, and to be able to track so that we can do better enforcement. So the gates will be closer together. So we did make some design considerations to help mitigate it. But, you know, people will do what they're going to do. But we don't want to inconvenience all of our customers because of it. So we've tried to get the good balance. And, I we've done our best. And hopefully we'll be able to mitigate that without any inconvenience to our customers.
Thank you very much, Terry. Love the sounds. I think we're moving in the right direction and appreciate all the time that you spent with us.
Okay. No, I'm happy to be here. And I do appreciate the feedback, you know, especially with things like this, because, you know, there's so many things that I'm not in tuned to think about. And so, you know, WMATA makes a big effort to create this committee to make sure that we hear from a variety of voices, and this helps me. So it helps me to get it right. I'm sure this will not be the last time I'm here. So I'm sure Anu will invite me back, you know, when we get closer to our pilot, and we'll be able to discuss some of the final design things and share them with you.
That's super, thank you so much.
We surely will, Terry. And you have seen the two pictures that Tino had shared with us earlier. If anybody is interested in seeing them for a quick moment, I'll be more than happy to pull them up on the screen and share. So.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Paul's suggestions about Metro Access fares.
We are having a hailstorm with big pieces of hail almost breaking my windows. This is Denise.
Well, get in the bathtub.
It did get pretty dark outside. Yeah.
Same here in Montgomery County. Really heavy storm.
Yes. It's really, really heavy rain here.
Well, no, but these are rock hail.
We're having it here in Gainesville, Florida also. That's why I cut out for a little bit during the last conversation. So just stay away from the windows.
All right.
Down and let's let Paul talk to us about fares.
So, as I finally made it to New York City, one big thing I noticed is, along with buses, regular buses being free, paratransit is free. And the reason for that is, you know, COVID-19 is hitting New York City in a much more horrible way. It used to be the epicenter. But the safety issue behind it is we don't want drivers, and this thing's gone cashless these days during COVID, we don't want drivers to handle any money. So my proposal for Metro Access is to not charge fares during the COVID period.
Free rides for Metro Access.
Yes. What was that, Denise?
I'm listening to what you're saying.
Oh, okay. So my proposal I'm putting out there for the committee to bring before the board is to propose no fares for Metro Access customers during the COVID-19 pandemic, based on the safety notion that the drivers should not have to handle cash, and a lot of paratransits are doing it across the nation since their regular bus systems are no longer accepting fares at all. And this will be only during the time of the pandemic. When Metro Bus resumes to collect bus fares, then Metro Access can resume that. That'll be my proposal.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, before the committee discuss, I mean, I hear you, Paul,
I already know that y'all may shoot it down. However, it doesn't hurt to propose it because it's already in place in a lot of cities.
No, I got you, but I thought we had spoken about this previously. But here's my question. Just a few questions I want the committee to consider. As I've always said, and like y'all know, Paul and I didn't talk about this beforehand. I'm not one to try to orchestrate your advocacy. So if you support this, of course, go forward. But here are some of the things.
And this will be only temporary, only during if Metro decides not to to start collecting fares again, then it would be paratransit.
Okay. But here's the difference, though, because if we're going to base no fares because Metro Bus is not collecting fares, my question to you is the AAC prepared to support curb-to-curb pickups and no longer door-to-door during this period? Because the fact of the matter is, that is the only reason why fares are not being collected, not because it's COVID-19. It's in part because of COVID-19, but it's because they're boarding at the rear to avoid contact between the driver and the customer. As you know, on Metro Access, our whole business and service is directly customer-driver contact. So we want to base it on the Metro Bus not collecting fares. I would just ask, as a matter of discussion, are we prepared to no longer have door-to-door service during the COVID-19 crisis?
All right, committee members?
Well, if I can add something at that point, several points. The contact that you're avoiding on the bus is real contact coming through the front door. Contact for Metro Access is not because of door-to-door service, it's because of securement within the vehicle. Because on door-to-door service, there are ways that can be done, keeping 6-foot distance and a mask. The other thing I would point out is something that we had brought up earlier, is something Paul brought up, is the handling of money by the Metro Access driver. And we really haven't gotten an update on that, which Terry Ann probably is ready to give that to us at the next Metro Access meeting. The third point to make is, if Metro Access fares are twice the standard route fares, on those trips that are taking on bus routes, like all the ones that are west on orange, blue, and silver, 2 times 0 is 0. And so those are 3 things to just kind of think about and discuss. And that was one of the reasons when Paul brought this up, I thought it was a nice idea and I thought it was something we really needed to discuss. One, money handling. Two, the calculation of 2x0 for those trips that the best route is via bus. And three, are we permitting the driver to keep social distancing and permitting the passenger to go from door to the vehicle? I know we had a large discussion with Doris several meetings ago about how that could be done with the blind passengers. And so I throw this back to the group to talk about. So please raise your hand, unmute, let them know you want to talk.
One at a time.
Well, before we go, can I just respond real quick and then I'll hush and listen to the committee members. One, in terms of the cash handling, yes, there is some cash handling. However, the bulk of our fares are actually paid through the EasyPay system and is not transactions with the driver and customer. That's one thing we want to keep in mind. Two, based on complaints I've had to address, and I know we haven't given the drivers any other direction at this point, to a lot of customers, maybe not all, certainly not all, but to a lot of customers, door to door is literally that. There are many complaints I get, or they're forwarded because David Schaefer is our ombudsman, but I see many, many complaints of customers because the driver stood down at the vehicle and didn't come to the door. Door to door for us, and maybe we have to have that discussion philosophically, is literally door to door. And if a person needs that arm support to avoid trips and falls, which count as Metro Access injuries, we offer that arm support. If we go and start saying it's a 6-foot distance between customers, then literally you are talking about curb to curb service. And it's going to be hard to say 6 foot for X customers, but door to door hands on for other customers. So I'm not sure. I have to slightly disagree with you, Mr. Chairman, in that our customer contact is really securement. I really believe it's a lot more contact early on and after a trip is completed than just a securement. And then just finally with the fares, the fare structure has not changed per the board policy. So theoretically, a trip on Metro bus, at least on the weekends where it's easier to calculate, is not, you know, 2x0. That fare theoretically is still there per board policy. It's not being collected because they're entering through the rear, but that doesn't mean that we have made the fare zero. But these would just be points I would bring up as this emerges further, because it looks like this is going to be a long-term situation, although the rear boarding may be coming to an end in the near future. We will see. But those were just some points I wanted to bring up, not to debate and change anybody's mind. Again, I've always said AAC, the way we're going to be strengthened is by having a strong AAC, not one that has to orchestrate everything with management. So I say continue your advocacy, but I wanted you to, you know, I wanted to be transparent in what Metro Access Management's response may be.
Well, that's very good. The one thing I'd like to respond to is we've had a lot of discussion about the safety of the drivers. We all worry about the drivers. And if the drivers, in fact, are making physical contact, and that's part of their escort from door to door, then they need to have the same personal protection equipment that EMTs have. Otherwise, it's unsafe.
I mean, this is Pat.
Talk about with shields and whatever, if they're actually touching the customers, they need to have PPT.
I see Ms. Rush has her hand up, and then I believe Pat wants to make some comments. Rush, go ahead, please.
Go ahead, Ms. Rush. Oh, she muted herself.
I'll unmute you.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Rush.
I disagree with Paul about not paying during this time for Metro Access service. The drivers are coming door to door and they are making contact, and we want to keep the drivers as long as possible. And if everything is running free, the buses, they're coming in back, and that is free, and for a period of time. How are people going to get paid, or how are we going to keep drivers that we have? That's not including just the bus drivers, but the Metro Access drivers. Their hours, there are so few people moving that we need to be able to have hours for them. If the phases are moving up, we want them to move up. And right now it's one passenger per vehicle is what they're trying to do. I think we should still pay the fare, because we're talking about the gas, the buses, the entire service. And we're all going through a problem right now, but I disagree with that. That's just my opinion. Got to look at the full picture and the end result. And door to door, if you're going to somebody's door, you're touching their door, you're helping them. It's going to be too confusing to customers. Well, he one driver walked me to the door, and another driver just left me at the curb. And especially blind people, I disagree. I think we should pay for the service. That's all.
Go ahead, Pat.
Thank you. This is Pat Sheehan. I was going to probably disagree with Denise, which is always a bad thing to do, but I don't think it's about door-to-door issue. I think if you're going to be clever enough to say that you're still charging the fares on the buses, but you're not collecting them, then you make the same argument on paratransit. You can still charge the fares, but you won't collect them. You keep the other door-to-door service there. I think that's an apples and orange argument, and I don't think it's a valid one. So I would say if it's good enough for bus, it's good enough for paratransit. If you're going to make the argument that you're not going to collect, you're going to charge the fares but not collect them on the bus, that's good enough for paratransit.
I see Tino.
Not me. That wasn't me.
Oh, you're not making a comment? Okay.
Anyone else? Well, we've had a good discussion. Do we have a motion, or do we want to just move on?
Barbara, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Anu. My comment is, I don't think this thing is going to be solved anytime soon. I would recommend the group consider having WMATA send out some type of communication to Metro Access riders and strongly suggesting that they pay via easy pay. And, you know, maybe you'll get some people to change in light of the situation. And then the benefit of that is when COVID is over, then they may choose to stay that way, and that would help everybody out, because I don't think the drivers are really liking to collect the money. The second thing is, I think the reservations department within Metro Access needs to have an option. A lot of the times when I'm taking Metro Access, I know where I'm going, and so I don't need the door-to-door, but other times I do. So when the reservations agent is processing a trip, they should ask the rider, would you like door-to-door or curb-to-curb? And then that may, in this time, make things a little bit safer. And also, a side benefit is it would speed up the trips because the rider could be waiting at the curb if that's what they chose. So consider those.
So this is Vanessa. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vanessa.
I am siding with Paul. I think that if the argument is that that's part of the salary and they're only getting one person or their group on there, it's not going to make or break them. I think that their base is still being paid. It's just the part that we have to pay. So I'm on the side with Paul.
So this is Bong from MDOD. Just a quick question for the gentleman that was speaking in reference to the Metro Access. What is currently the COVID-19 protocol for Metro Access as far as the drivers and customer? As far as what the drivers should do or allowed to do and so forth with interaction with the customers?
I'm going to let Mr. Blake answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Yes, sir. So, and welcome. Thank you for joining our meeting this evening.
Thank you.
Metro Access protocol has not changed except for a few things. We're still providing our full schedule during the weekdays, even though Metro Bus and Metro Rail have cut back somewhat, although we've been adding more fixed route service. Metro Access never cut back on our service. That was a commitment I ensured all of our customers that we did not want them impacted. If they absolutely needed these essential trips, we would be there for them. We did not stop door-to-door service. So door-to-door means that the driver goes to the door of the customer they're picking up and or dropping off. And in a lot of cases, especially after a rash of customer trip and fall injuries, which became like the bane of our existence, our drivers have been trained and encouraged to provide support to the customers as they need it, including offering an arm for escort if absolutely is necessary. What we have changed is that any customer who is confirmed or believes they have COVID-19 through the contact with someone else who has or possibly has COVID-19, their trips have been provided on a third-party service, not on the Metro Access dedicated service. So that's been our big change in this regard, is to
That is a non-shared service, yes.
That is okay.
That would be a non-shared service. Okay.
Correct. So that's been our biggest change in this, is that we have isolated those customers who are absolutely positive for COVID-19 and possibly positive for COVID-19 until we get a test result back from them on a third party. Now, in terms of cleaning protocols, we have increased our disinfectant cleanings. And we shared all this with the AEC. I'm just going through this because I know you're new. I saw your email to me about a week ago. I didn't respond directly to you, but I forwarded to the appropriate immediate contact, you know, just
okay.
protocol. But we used to disinfect our vehicles. We clean every night, but we would disinfect once a week. Now we're disinfecting every vehicle that went out for service that particular day. So that's the big change in terms of the cleaning. The other change is the one in terms of isolating people who are positive or possibly positive for COVID-19 because of interaction. But everything else, in order to not disrupt or have as little disruption in the lives of Metro Access customers as possible, we've kept everything else the same.
Mr. Blake, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm looking at the clock, and we have a lot of things we wanted to cover.
So what do we want to do with this then?
Well, what I'd like to do is move this to the Metro Access Subcommittee.
Okay.
That way everybody will have another week to think about it and have a good discussion during that session. What I want to do now is let Ms. Lopez come in and talk to us about ADA 30 years, and then we'll go back to Metro's reopening discussion, and then public comments, and hopefully we'll get it all done in 20 minutes.
Phil, this is Pat. Could I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
This refer to committee. Is there, I'm wondering if there's anything in the contract that says what is type of service needs to be provided. My guess is it's probably in the customer service manual with respect to, you know, working with customers. So as part of being changing what we're doing temporarily, we probably would have to address that somehow. I just don't know if there's any supporting document that says this is the expectation of behavior, you know, from either the contract or at least the customer service manual.
It's a good point. We can discuss that next
time. We can discuss, but we should at least have that material available when we get to that point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Phil.
Karen, all right. And Lou, my report, I think I already made my discussion, so you can go ahead with the rest of the agenda.
Okay. Carol?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Just wanted to touch base on the 30th anniversary of the ADA. And the Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law on July 26, 1990. And this year we celebrate its anniversary, 30 years. And a law that prohibits discrimination and guarantees that people with disabilities have the same opportunities as everyone else. Title II of the ADA applies to public transportation and requires the provision of paratransit services by public entities that provide fixed route systems such as bus and rail. And as we all know, WMATA is compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. All aspects of our service are compliant and in many cases exceed the ADA standards due to your advocacy, meaning the Accessibility Advisory Committee, and the due diligence of our staff. There are lots of things I would like to talk about in reference to why WMATA is accessible. And but I think we've run out of time, so I'm just going to
since we're running out of time, this is Tino. I'd like to propose a motion to commemorate the 30th anniversary of ADA. I've circulated to everyone the facts and my reasoning, and before we leave, since this will be the only time the AAC will be able to make a motion and pass it, I'd like to propose that we commemorate the 30th anniversary. You know, this past weekend, on July 4th, we celebrated the commemoration of the founding of the nation. And I think we should, as the AAC, commemorate the 30th anniversary of the ADA. WMATA displays Title VI civil rights placards at every station kiosk. So I'd simply propose that similar ADA placards also be displayed as the Title VI placards are displayed. My motion would be to do that.
Tino, I'd like to add to that we should compliment WMATA in something I learned when I first joined this committee, and that is the ADA is a minimum standard.
Right.
WMATA goes above and beyond that minimum standard in many areas. And I think while we're complementing the ADA, we need to complement the group that we're using that provides our transportation for not only obeying the ADA by the letter of the law, but actually going beyond the letter of the law. And I think that's important to put in the motion.
Yes, okay, so that should be reflected in the motion. Do I hear a second from anybody?
Second.
Okay, we'll go through my original priority, and that is there anyone opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina.
You're welcome.
Carol, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think it would be too lengthy. We should go ahead and complete the rest of the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, super. Thank you. Anu, would you give your announcement about public input at this point, and then we'll go to our discussion about reopening?
Yes, so for today, we have one customer with us, Barbara. And Barbara, if you have any more comments, you'll have that opportunity. Anyone who is willing to give us their public comments can do so via phone call. They can call at 202-962-1100, leave a message, and we will contact them as soon as possible. If anybody is looking to send us their comments in writing, can send an email to metroaacchair@vamada.com. That's all one word, metroaacchair@wmata.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next thing we had listed for discussion, Tino, you had wanted to do this. I had requested that everybody listen to the presentation that was given on YouTube by the board, by Teresa Impestato, and also by Mr. Smedberg, who's the chairman of the board, of what their plans are for reopening. And then asked to send in emails if you had questions that we wanted to forward to them to be addressed. And I'll open the floor right now. I haven't received any emails. I don't think Anu has received any emails. So those of you that had ideas but didn't want to send an email, feel free to unmute yourselves, raise your hand, and start a discussion.
And I just want to chime in that it's 7:17, so we only have 12 minutes.
Yes.
Anu, this is Pat again. Could I ask just a timing question, because I haven't seen anything that's changed. Has any of the timings changed by that was at the RAC a month ago? Timelines.
Patrick, breaking up.
We will learn this Thursday because the safety subcommittee is going to meet again, so we'll get another update of what they're going to do. It will be very interesting to see what happens following the 4th of July and the increased service on rail and the number of people that showed up at the mall and actually are traveling. So hopefully on Thursday we'll get some more data and we can discuss that at bus rail subcommittee next Monday.
I mean, I thought that, Dan, Phil, this is Pat, I thought the presentation was very good. My only question would be the timing. I thought all the process stuff would probably be still similar.
No, I think it's very similar right now, but all you have to do is look at California, Arizona, and Louisiana and those other states that did go through their opening states, and now they're
you mean Florida, Phil?
And Florida, yeah. Definitely Florida. And so I think again getting our update on Thursday will be on Monday, because I think everything is going to depend upon the fluidity of the pandemic. Okay, shall we get a bus rail subcommittee report? Tina.
Hello? I didn't hear you, Phil.
Oh, would you like to give the bus rail subcommittee report?
Well, let's see, we talked about the summer shutdown, and in Mr. Perfili's report, he mentioned that people who did board buses or metro rail wore masks. Let's see what else we talked about. The bus securement device called the Quantum Gen 2, and I must admit that was not favorably reviewed by most of the committee, any of the committee practically. Let's see. Ms. Rush did say that when the ride-on folks in Montgomery County install the securement device, she'd be willing to come with me to test it out. Unfortunately, until the pandemic is
passed and there's a vaccine, I'm not going anywhere. So, Denise, it'll be a while before we can go test that, or at least that I will. We talked about the bus rear boarding and the impact on blind customers. And we had an ombudsman report, and that was about it. So we'll review it again and pass, either approve or amend the report next Monday.
Yeah, that's super. Thank you. Paul, did you want to add anything for Metro Access?
Very brief, so a minute or two. So we talked about the revision of the Metro Access customer guide with Ms. Anderson, and she gave us a timeline as to how things will be flowing for this year and with updates. We talked about the shuttle service update for the platform rehab program with David Schaefer. Mr. Blake talked to us about updates for Abilities Ride and the Metro Access sedans and how that's moving along. And finally, we got a safety, we also got an eligibility status update from Mr. Antoine Johnson and how that's looking. And we also got our update for safety from Ms. Williams Hall, along with Mr. Blake chiming in. Mr. Spice, is there anything to add from last month that you wanted to highlight?
No, I think that's super. What the only thing I'll ask is that this coming Monday, we continue our discussion on reopening, and we'll have some more data from this Thursday's board meetings. And then at the next Metro Access meeting, continue the discussion that we started tonight about the fares, and also find out about personal protective equipment for the drivers and cash collection on the vehicle as protection for the drivers. And other than that, if anyone else has anything they would like to add before we go, I'd like to thank everybody for a great year. Look forward to a nice August off, and hopefully everybody will show up for bus rail and for Metro Access before we take off for August.
Phil?
Yes.
This is Anthony.
I'd like to add one thing. I didn't get a chance to talk about the fare gates. And so I'll bring that up at the bus and rail. And I'll draft the motion we passed, and I'll fly it by you because you amended it. And that'll be what we approve.
Great. Now okay. We'll bring that to the letter to the board.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Bill, did we,
Well, Anthony is up.
It was chattering.
Anthony?
Hi, this is Anthony. I just wanted to add, I was trying to find my notes. I had sent everyone a bit about the recovery thoughts, and I know we're going to talk about that at bus rail. But one of the points I wanted to make as we think about this over the next week is that there was a point in the discussion and at the RAC meeting about how WMATA would encourage social distancing, but it will rely on riders to sort of do it.
Good luck to that.
That's the reason why I bring that up, because I think that might be something if we may have a little bit of a foothold there with some of our connections and how important it is to do some of that, to maybe do some outreach. So that's my sort of initial thought on how the AAC can help with the recovery. And I think we can discuss that more next week, but I wanted to bring it up.
No, that's great. We can certainly talk to the people in Arizona about how that works.
for sure.
RAC meeting, the RAC meeting is this Wednesday, by the way, for those that want to attend.
Thank you.
And you will send us the call information.
I will do that. And did you say, Phil, my computer was chattering, that we are taking August off?
That's the tradition.
Okay. That's what I thought. That's what I thought, what I heard.
Your urgency that, needs us to meet in August. I will assume we'll follow tradition and meet in September.
Yeah, okay.
But feel free to send me email and money. during the hurricane season.
Oh, yes.
Contactless.
Yes, so thank everybody very much and have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
Thank you.